Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is July the 29th, 2022. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's amazing wherever you're at. Actually, very, very beautiful morning. Got up this morning, went for a nice bike ride. It was great to get out. I shared in the past that we've been transitioning from housing or from one house to another house, and it's been great. Unfortunately, we're just, you know, after living in a place for 22 years, you get sort of used to the area and take it for granted, right? Take it for granted what an amazing location we had. And we have a nice location now, but our other location was really awesome, man. I could literally jump on the bike, ride down to the beach, you know, be anywhere I wanted pretty quickly. The new place that we're at, it's probably 15 minutes on bike from our old house. So it takes me about 15 minutes to just get to my old house, and then from there we can... or I can do whatever it is that I'd like to do. But, you know, it's all good. These are not big problems, just things that I'm kind of having fun with, or I don't want to say working on, because it's not really anything to work on. It's just expanding my my area of travel, which is absolutely fine. But I did get up this morning and started riding. I was like, ooh, shit, it's a little chilly. And it's not. But it's, you know, it's not 900 degrees out. So anytime that, you know, it's a decent temperature, it feels like it's chilly. So, but it was fine. Had an excellent ride. Great. Get the blood pumping. Yeah, it was just a really nice morning. Did end up riding down to the beach. And it was just a good morning. Because I feel like I need to do stuff like that. I need to get out and suffer a bit. I did not suffer this morning. It was very exciting, right? I mean, I got this great e-bike. I'm on an adventure. It was very, not therapeutic, because it was, you know, I needed to partake in the ride. It wasn't just this relaxing journey of meditation. I had to partake in it. I had to pedal on the highway. Where we lived before, I could basically ride down to the trail and get down to the town pretty easily. Now I'm out on the highway. I'm crossing traffic. It's pretty, you know, it's not therapeutic, but it's exciting and it's fun. And, you know, I don't want to, because in the past or even in the present, I can start finding reasons why, you know, moving could be a great reason why not to ride my bike that much anymore. You know, as a guy that did a lot of running, I'm not feeling the running, so I'm still, you know, I want to exercise and, you know, keep the body moving. And so biking does that. I don't want to start talking myself out of biking, too. So it's good to push through that and just get out and experience some life out there. And that's what I did this morning. It's just beautiful and just full of gratitude. You know, it was interesting, that podcast I did the other day, you know, adding the O, going from God to good. I've never heard that. I don't know where that even came from. It just came flying out of my mouth. You know, it's not a groundbreaking thought, but the idea is very... Sometimes I'll say stuff or I'll share a thought, and then I'll think back on it, and I'll be like, wow, that is actually very helpful, because, you know, early on in recovery... And even today, you know, I still struggle with that full 100% leap into giving my will and my life over the care of God, right? I like the idea, but I still am not perfect, right? You know, I can still get pissed. I can still, you know, be a pain in the ass. I can still be self-centered. I can still be deficient in humility. I can still, you know, be very self-centered. You know, I'm not perfect. So I remember once somebody telling me that it's better to never to have never walked with the Lord than to have walked with the Lord and then turned your back. And I'm like, well, I feel like every time I start my day, I sort of have these relationships with the Lord, and then at some point I don't. So when I shared in the podcast that, you know, if you're having trouble with the God word, then just add an extra O and call it good. And I thought about it all day, and I'm like, that's it. That is what, you know, that's what better way of representing God than the word good, right? Trying to do good, trying to live that life of the Lord or God or Jesus or just the white, right? The white, the light, right? Trying to live a life of light and not try to live a life of darkness. And you know, I think back to the days out in San Diego and the days out in Albuquerque where, you know, my partying career, my drinking and drugging career began. You know, what a freaking adventure. And just like that bike ride this morning, you know, doing all sorts of fun stuff, completely unknown to me. Same way with those days. You know, the adventure didn't start off as let's get high and drunk. The adventure just started off as, hey, let's meet here and hang out, right? And then the hanging out led to the conversations, led to the fun, the good and the bad, and the drinking and the drugging, and this whole beginning of a world that, you know, entering, I, you know, for the most part was a good person. And when I walked out of that life, I left as still a good person. I'm the same person that I've always been, right? It's just that I get caught up in things or I get down paths and then it's just a good time. And then eventually when the good time ends, I don't know how to get out of the path, right? I don't know how to get off that trail of debauchery and, you know, whatever it is. But, you know, I shared the other day just trying to figure out how am I ever going to just clean up my act, right? How am I ever going to be better? And, you know, one day at a time has always, you know, these early sayings in the program, you know, one day at a time, you know, it's a big help. And we didn't get that way overnight and we're not going to get better that way overnight. So, but I like the, you know, it really stopped and made me pause and think on the idea of, you know, if I'm having a problem with the relationship with God, then just add the O and have a relationship with the G-double-O-D. Yeah. Children of the Grave. It's funny, I was, you know, when we start to, you know, start to come out of this thing, whatever it is that we're involved in, doing these things that we've been doing, you know, one of the, during my time in being, you know, living a life of not good, was this like, kind of like, I don't know, it's like a group of people that think they're like really tough and you know, criminal and hardcore and, right, you know, people of the streets and, you know, this whole, I remember this, you know, you can't tell anybody, you know, don't be a narc. You know, even it's hard to live a life of G-O-O-D in those days, because anything that you would try to do as good would probably look like you were a cop or like you, because you almost had to be, if you wanted to be in that life, you had to be all in, right? And I shared the other day about how, you know, I traded some meth for a gun. I mean, that was the life, you know. I didn't like guns. I wasn't a gun person. I would never shoot anybody. I would never, I'm so grateful today that I never got myself into a position where under the influence of something, the idea of shooting somebody might have seemed like a good idea. You know, I'm just so grateful that something like that hasn't happened to me or hadn't happened to me, because that's got to be the worst when you do something when you're under the influence or under the influence of a lifestyle, right? Or under the influence of the D-E-V-I-L. When you're under that influence, sometimes we'll do things. And listen, I've done things and I look back and I go, why would I do that, right? I mean, even selling methamphetamines. I remember selling like ounces of the shit. You remember the Breaking Bad? Remember they had that blue meth? We had blue meth in San Diego. There was blue meth and it was gnarly. And if you'd have taken this kid that had come from just a pretty much a normal life and somehow wound his way down these paths that ended up basically selling blocks of ounces of meth, I'd never pictured myself doing that. I never would have. I never would have ever thought. But, you know, but when you're in that kind of game, you know, there's no snitching, right? There's like tough people. There's people with guns. You know, there's always the idea, you hear people of getting like beat up or shot. And, you know, when that guy wanted to trade for the gun, I was like, yeah, that sounds like a fair idea. But I didn't like guns. I wasn't a gun person. I would never, you know, it wasn't part of my arsenal, right? It just went in the closet. But I tell you what, when it all ended, that thing became a real issue. And it really became a real issue in probably saving my life. I don't, like I said, and I'm not going to say it all over again, but I don't know if I'd be where I was at if that hadn't happened. You know, I may have ended up a different path, but it's so, you know, when you're living that lifestyle, it's hard to be a good person. You may be a good person to the people that are in your circle, right? You always have like this group and you always kind of got the better of the bad and the bad of the bad. And, you know, but even in that situation, it's still tough to be good. So I remember when I got sober, it just, one of the first things that just felt good was just to be good, right? To be lacking that bad behavior, to be, because everything that I did was always thinking about me, and in the program and programs like that gave me an opportunity to have the green light to think of others, right? To be considerate. The life I had under the influence of drugs and alcohol was, you know, self-centered. And then the more in drugs and alcohol that I did, the more self-centered I became. And then after it was all said and done, I became a victim to my own self-centeredness, right? And that's sort of what happens. We become a victim to our own self-centeredness. And like my buddy Matt used to say, victims never get better. You know, victims never get better. You know, one of the, I've shared that we moved, and if you've ever built a house, or done something like that. You know, there's always this period of as the build, you know, the pre-build and all the buddies and handshaking and high-fiving and loving that's going on because we are working on a project. And then you get into it and, you know, it's still good. But when the project is done, right, and the people move on to the next project, the love stops. And the company that built our house is a great company, but my God, we're already having fucking problems. One of them being we can't, you know, and listen, we have a washer and dryer to wash our clothes. When I say that, I sort of feel bad. Like maybe there's people out there that don't have a washer and dryer. I'm sorry, but we do have a washer and dryer in our house, and it won't work because there's an issue with the fuse. And the company is saying that it's the electric company, and the electric company is saying it's the house company is saying it's the appliance. The appliance is saying that it's in the breaker. It's just nobody wants to not take responsibility, but seem to want to roll up their sleeves and figure out how to fix it. And we can't wash our clothes. And listen, I know there's people out there that don't have washer and dryers, and I'm sorry. We do. I'm going to feel bad about every freaking thing, but we're sort of powerless right now. And I called the lady this morning. She's like, you know, you've got to go through this thing that contacts them, which will contact us, which sounds like a whole lot of fucking waiting, right? And so, but I'm powerless. You know, there's no phone. A lot of businesses do this now. You have to reach out through them through their app or an email or something like that. Nobody wants to talk to anybody on the phone, which I don't really blame them. But, you know, it feels very powerless. And, you know, what happens when I don't get my way? My feet start stomping around. And I'm feeling a little bit like that today. And I'm trying to, you know, stay in a positive place. It is just the fact that we can't wash our clothes. I guess we could wash them. We'd just maybe have to hang them out in the trees or something. But, you know, worse things could be happening, right? It seems like, you know, every little situation comes up, seems like the end of the world, and then we kind of get through it. And then I'm like, well, that wasn't really so bad. And I'm hoping that's the way it is with this, and we'll kind of get to the bottom of it. But, you know, one of the good things and bad things about getting sober is you become, you know, a nice person, right? I want to, like, fucking dig into it. I want to roll up my sleeves. I want to fucking get some loud talk going on. I want to get some, you know, I want to post some shit on Facebook. Look at this company. I want to get in a heartbeat and start, you know, ripping them up and blaming and really make a spectacle of myself. I mean, that's what I'd like to do. It just feels good to, like, make a mess of yourself. And that's sort of where I feel like today. It's, you know, it's sometimes hard to be, it's not hard. It's sometimes boring and not as fulfilling. Being a nice person, you know, there's something really fun about, like, flipping a table over and, you know, roughing up the place a bit. And just for the record, I don't rough anything up. I'm just talking out my ass. But but mentally, you know, I want to flip some tables over and I want to, you know, make some phone calls and I want to post this and I'm not, because I'm a nice person today. I have made these choices and I want to live a life of good, not a life of bad. And, you know, there's something about waking up every day and you're not smelling the smell of burning bridges. And that's old behavior. You know, that's what I used to do. I used to burn bridges for a living. And I don't want to burn any bridges today. But, man, you know, and I don't want to drink, right? I don't want to do any drugs. But do I want to post on Facebook something about this project that we've been working on and how it's not really that great? Sorta. Will I? Absolutely not. Would I have? Absolutely. And that's this life of G-O-O-D, right? This life of turning my will, meaning what will I do? You know, what is it that I'm wanting? My will and my power over to the care of a G-O-D, over to the care of God. Or over to the care of G-O-O-D. You know, if I'm, you know, this is this is unfortunately the byproduct of getting sober and working a program and trying to build a foundation so that I don't drink or drug again, is trying to live a life of G-O-O-D. And damn it, you know, nothing. I think under the life of G-O-O-D, you probably get a few things done very quickly, but not many. Where in the life of good, you have, you know, you can, because this won't be our only problem. We'll have many problems with this house, not because anybody's done a bad job. It's just typically how it goes when you buy a house. You know, there's always situations that come up. And, you know, we don't want to go out with the flame of glory with this one issue and, you know, throw all the mud we can at it. You know, we have to sit back and let the process take place. But damn it. You know, I want to, you know, the devil side of me wants to fucking put some shit up on Facebook, which I've never done and would never do. I hope would never. There's nothing cheesier than people that fucking rant and put shit up on their social media page, bad mouthing or hurting or tearing at other people. You know, we do another podcast, We're Hope Social, which is one small business helping another. All the podcast is about helping people. And so, you know, that's my will in my life under the care of a higher power, the care of God. That is my life. It's trying to be of service to people, trying to help people. If I can, if all it is I can just shine a little light, then we try to do that. But that person can't at the same time take a bunch of pictures and post them on Facebook and badmouth business. You don't get both worlds, right? It's like dating. It's like being a drunk and dating the person that's sober. You can't have that world. They don't go together. So it was nice to hit the bike. It was nice to get out and ride and just kind of debrief my thoughts. And the process, we'll let the process take its place, and it will work out. It's a group of great people. I really love the company. I love the people in the company so much that it seems like there's just this person that's waiting in the shadows to, you know, are you ready? Are we going to attack them yet? Are we going to, you know, and I'm like, they're great people. What are we doing? Why would we do that? Let the process happen and it'll be fine. And that's what we've done for the last 2 years. And here we are and it's been fine. So, you know, I don't feel like drinking, but I definitely feel like, you know, being an asshole on Facebook, and that can be worse, right? It's definitely, that kind of behavior will definitely lead me back to drinking. But, you know, over the years of being sober, people, that would be very out of character. And probably, like, I know my friends, and I know my friends that live a life of good. And if I saw somebody do that, I'd be like, ah, it's so disappointing, really. I mean, you know, you shouldn't have done that. You know better, right? And there was a chink in the armor, a small glitch, a moment, a weakness. And I think as we get sober early on, I think we have a few of those, right? But now we're dealing with feelings and being considerate and thoughtful. And, you know, it's like, I think I shared early on when my buddy Scott was, you know, we were at a meeting and I drove us and I said, listen, I'll wait for you outside. And it took forever. And he came in, jumped in the car, and I'm like, geez, somebody's a chatty Cathy. And he goes, you know, that hurts my feelings. And I was like, oh. Like, I'd never heard anybody tell me that I had hurt their feelings, right? But that was that me kind of getting, you know, have you ever played, like, my kids have the Oculus. And the Oculus is interesting because you, if you don't know what the Oculus is, it's a VR headset. You put it on, you can play games, and you're like in the virtual world, man, and it's really trippy. But it's cool because you have to kind of create a safe zone, right? You have to kind of trace it out, you know, with your with one of the controllers. You trace it out all around, and it's this safe zone. And that means that in this zone, you can shake your hands, you can kick your feet. You shouldn't hit anything. But once you get out of the safe zone, and when you're wearing the Oculus, you can see this almost wall, this fake wall of little X's and shit. It's just showing you're passing into or you're exiting out of the safe zone. And it's very small because, you know, at least it was. We were living, you know, our little house, so we'd kind of make it out. Part of the little kitchen and living room is, you know, this small safe zone. But that's kind of how early sobriety is. You know, I had this little safe zone, right? Don't drink, go to meetings, show up every day. And, you know, kind of staying in my bubble. But it's these moments, like when I told my buddy Scott, you know, I called him a chatty Cathy, and he said, you know, it hurt his feelings. Ow, right? But it expanded my safe zone a little bit. That hurt. I felt like a fucking asshole, right? I felt, because I had a lot of, and that's another thing that, you know, I had a lot of respect for my friends, my early friends in the program. You know, I really looked up to them, good or bad. You know, you look back and, you know, 20-something years later, and you're like, okay, maybe these people weren't as great as I thought they were, but they were perfect for the time, and they're still great people. But, you know, early recovery relationships compared to people that have a bunch of time now, seem to know everything, relationships, they're not always as good. But this was early on, early relationship, early sobriety, and, you know, so I really looked up to these people. So when I said that and he told me, you know, that hurt my feelings, you know, I was like, okay, never do that again, right? This was old behavior. This is not living a life of good. This was living a life of I don't give a shit and saying things to people, you know, being sarcastic, making fun of. You know, the definition of sarcasm is the tearing of flesh. Think about it. But it's the same thing, me being sarcastic. Somebody's a chatty Cathy, you know, me being hurtful and then being pointed out. Hey, man, that hurts my feelings. And my safe zone, as much as that doesn't seem it, got a little bigger because now I knew. I said, okay, you need to not say things like that to people. And now I'm able to have more conversations. You know, there's nothing worse than when you hang out with somebody that you don't know what the fuck they're going to say. You know, you're like, oh, God, what's he going to say now? Right. Well, I knew, you know, and sort of using that as an example, I didn't know what I was going to say. Right. I didn't know what I was going to do back then. I was just driving the vehicle. Right. I didn't know, you know, because everything was pretty much acceptable because I didn't care what anybody thought. Right. So I'm like relearning what's acceptable and what's not acceptable in my life. And that bubble grew a little bit when I said that to him, and he fucking told me that hurt my feelings. It was humiliating. It made me embarrassed, ashamed. It deflated my ego, and my safe zone got a little bit bigger because at that point I said, I got to watch when I can't say things like that apparently anymore. These people care, right? And all of a sudden, so I'm starting to say, listen, I can have conversations. Now I know, don't say things like that. And you should be okay. And so my safe zone got just a little bit bigger. And that's just how my life has gone, right? It's living the life of good compared to a life of bad. It's living the life of God, turning my will and my life over to the higher power. And that to me is living a life of good, which is pretty awesome. Let's see if I can do a reading daily reflections. Hold on here. Does any of this make sense? It's making sense to me. I'm just saying it. It's fun we're doing this podcast because I, you know, these are all thoughts and me trying to, you know, just share some ideas. And then I come up with like when I'm like, hey, that's actually not a bad idea, Tom. And it's some of this shit helps me. I don't know if I've said it today, but I'm very, very, very grateful to be sober. Very grateful. All right. Anonymous Gifts of Kindness, July the 29th. Anonymous Gifts of Kindness, July 29th. As active alcoholics, we were always looking for a handout in one way or another. Oh my God, this one. Yes. As active alcoholics, we were always looking for a handout in one way or another. Now, when it says that, does that mean active alcoholics? But shit, I know people like that that aren't drinking that are still always looking for a handout. Oh, my God, I hate that. Oh, I hate that shit. The 12 Traditions Illustrated, page 14. The challenge of the 7th tradition is a personal challenge, reminding me to share and give of myself. Before sobriety, the only thing I ever supported was my habit of drinking. Now my efforts are a smile, a kind word, and kindness. I saw that I had to start carrying my own weight and to allow my new friends to walk with me, because through the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions, I've never had it so good. Oh, I love that. Fuck yeah. That's it. That's, you know, that is it. That's exactly what I was just talking about. The challenge of the seventh tradition is a personal challenge, reminding me to share and give of myself before sobriety. Or before sobriety, the only thing I ever supported was my habit of drinking. Now my efforts are a smile, a kind word, and kindness. I saw that I had to start carrying my own weight. Yeah, you know, build that safety zone. Create that safe area and do it through learning. You know, unfortunately, people can tell you stuff or you can fuck up. Regardless, learn from it. Create a bigger safe zone. I love that. Through the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions, I've never had it so good. I agree. Unfortunately, sometimes having it so good is so freaking boring. And that sometimes is the hard part. Hey, thanks for letting me share. Catch you later. Bye.